You can push through a lot, and you already have. But when a headache starts calling the shots, it steals your focus at work, your patience at home, and your ability to stay present with the people who matter most to you. And the worst part is how easy it is to brush it off. Just take another pill, dim the lights, and tell yourself it's all going to be fine. But life can be different. You can spot the patterns, stop guessing, and walk into an appointment with a provider with intelligence that leads to actual care that will help you get rid of these headaches. Today's conversation gets into what headache and migraine can look like for veterans, why it's often connected to service exposures and stress, and how a simple tracking habit can help you take back control in your own life. Our guest, Diego Colon, breaks down a mission-ready way to navigate care, understand triggers, and use the right tools so that you stop white-knuckling your way through the week. Then we move on to resources that are built to bridge the gap between what exists and what veterans can actually access with a clear path to get started. But before we get into this episode, I want to take a moment to raise awareness for something that's deeply important to our community, the Global War on Terrorism Memorial Foundation. This organization is working to build a permanent national memorial in Washington, D.C. to honor the service members, families, and civilians who are impacted by the Global War on Terrorism. This memorial will serve as both a tribute to those who served and a way to ensure that their sacrifices are recognized and remembered for generations to come. If you'd like to learn more or find out how you can support their mission, visit GWATMemorialFoundation.org. Now let's get into today's episode. Hey, Diego, welcome to the show. Really glad to have you here.
Really glad to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, you bet. I know we met a couple months ago at the Military Influencer Conference, and we got to chat a little bit, you and I. But for the listeners who maybe aren't familiar with you and who you are, where you're from, and all that kind of stuff, give us a quick rundown of who you are and your background, that kind of stuff.
Sure. Yes. Delightful meeting you at that conference. My name is Diego Colon. I am from Chicago, Illinois, where I am right now, and I am the associate director of military partnerships for the National Headache Foundation.
Awesome. So, yeah, if that wasn't obvious enough for the listeners, we're going to be talking about headaches and things that are related to headaches. So a lot of times you gave me some information from your organization, and I read through some of the stuff, and a lot of times stuff that you wouldn't necessarily think could cause a headache could be the source of a headache. And some people are out there struggling and suffering with headaches, like migraines, all those kind of things. And they're not sure where they're coming from, why they're getting them all of a sudden sometimes. And maybe something unrelated to what you might ordinarily expect to be a headache. You know, a lot of times bright lights or things like that could cause a headache, or dehydration, those kind of things. Mm-hmm. You know, we can kind of wrap our heads around, but other
yes. things
could be as well. And so we'll get into all that stuff, I'm sure, a little bit later. But one of the programs that you guys have at the National Headache Foundation is Operation Brainstorm. And that's, I think, what you guys were kind of promoting at the conference, and what you guys were kind of talking about. And so tell us about the program and kind of what the problem that you're trying to solve for veterans and what that kind of all looks like.
Absolutely. I would love to talk about Operation Brainstorm and how we're helping veterans with it. First, a little bit of context. Veterans, there are about 19 million-ish veterans in America, and that's a third of them are living with headache and migraine. A third of them are living with headache and migraine, women more so than men. And that is from a bunch of different reasons. Like, when you think of how someone gets a headache or how someone gets a migraine, and I'm sure you're thinking veterans, you're thinking some sort of battle, you're thinking some sort of like something happening to them, which is absolutely the case. That definitely happens. But also, veterans are just in situations like being by burn pits or being by chemical fires, and those things also cause headache and migraines. Sometimes it's just genetic, and then it just kicks in when you're in service. And so kind of what we're doing here at Operation Brainstorm is recognizing that we are dealing with an issue that is affecting a third of veterans, which is a very large amount. And there's not a lot out there. The VA has so much available to help. And I think what my job in creating Operation Brainstorm has become is creating this tool, this resource to help bridge the gap between veterans who have headache and migraine and are not getting treated and need help and are looking for answers, and providers who are just like, you know, working with a bunch of different veterans constantly all the time and wanting to make sure that they see exactly what is needed from their veteran, or they hear what they need to provide the appropriate treatment slash care.
Right, right. And I was talking about this just a minute ago, where there's a lot of conditions that could cause a headache or a migraine or things like that in people. That, like I said, you may not think of these things. Sometimes dehydration, yeah, okay, we understand those kind of things, stress, those kind of things. But, you know, it could be sleep. It could be, you know, sleep-related issues. It could be weather changes, loud sounds, or you mentioned a lot of times women are the ones who have more headaches than men. It could be hormonal changes as they get older and things like that too, that those kind of things could start affecting it. It could be, mm-hmm. It could be all sorts of things, TBIs, even in I'm have a little cheat sheet here, cause you gave me a little pamphlet.
Yes.
I'm reading off of it.
Listen, that's what it's for. I'm glad people are reading the pamphlets.
It is. And I kept it, you know, from a couple months ago when we met, and I'm glad I did, because, you know, it's got tons of information in it, and even things like PTSD and other things like that could
mental
be
health.
Yeah, mental health related things. Yeah. It could be the source of it. And so you might say, okay, well, I have a headache. A lot of times people just, you know, maybe pop some aspirin or, you know, Advil or something like that and think, okay, great. It's feels better. And so it's gone, but you're not addressing the root cause of the issue. And so eventually that headache's going to come back. You know, even if it's something as simple as dehydration, yeah, sure. You might feel better temporarily while that, you know, whatever, you know, aspirin or whatever you took is doing its thing. But mm-hmm. if you don't drink some water, that headache's coming right back. Right. So, yeah. So I think, you know, to your point, getting in touch with the right providers who can kind of drill down to the root cause of the issue is really important. And it's not something that you should just say, oh, well, I'll just take more, you know, painkillers or whatever to deal yeah. with this. You know, it really should be, let's dig down mm-hmm. to the root cause, right?
Yes. Down to the root cause is absolutely the goal. That is where I'm trying to get people. But I have been talking to veterans for the better part of almost 2 years now. And I think the first hurdle, and this is not a judgment, this is just sort of something that I'm recognizing, is that veterans are a tough community of people, tough group of people. They're super strong, super dedicated, super motivated. It's tough. It's also tough to get them to go to the doctor.
Yeah.
So that is the first hurdle, is getting them to go to the doctor. The second is sort of understanding context a little bit. You and I keep saying the word headache because it is applicable in this situation, but I just want to provide a little bit of context for our listeners out there, is that there are many different types of headache. There are hundreds of different types of headaches, and each one is unique to the person. And so I am not someone who lives with a headache disorder or migraine, but I do get tension type headaches, which is like sort of like your base level headache that everyone at some point in their life experiences. And so like when we say headache and I'm talking about headache, I'm not really talking too much about tension type headaches, because what you're saying is perfect for a tension type headache. Drink some water, get some extra sleep, some aspirin. That is normally how you deal with that. What I am talking about is a multiphasic neurological disorder.
Yeah.
So this is something that is pervasive. This is something that is going to continue and could get worse if not treated early on and effectively. That the difference is important, because that is part of the hurdle, I believe, to getting veterans through the door to see their doctor.
Right. And I think that first type of headache, like that tension headache, the classic kind of headache that you're just talking about, is something that I think most of us can figure out how to deal with those. Like you said, those are pretty low level, pretty easy to deal with. They don't cause too much disruption in your day-to-day life. Yeah, it's annoying, it's frustrating. You know, sometimes it's like, ah, man, this is like the worst time to have a headache. But you know what? You can push through and you can be okay. But those other ones that you're talking about, the kind of more severe, they can have some significant impacts on your day-to-day life as far as affecting your ability to do your job, to be able to, you know, care for certain, you know, people, you know, care for your kids, care for yourself, even, you know, doing certain things are almost impossible in some cases when you're having such bad headaches where, you know, your vision could be affected or, you know, other things can be affected where it's just like, I just can't do anything at this point. I know for myself, I have these migraines where it actually makes my vision kind of go away in oh, certain wow. parts of my vision. And it's so bad. Like I have to just close my eyes for a while and until it passes. And it's like, those types of things, think about it, if you're driving and something like that happens, like you can't keep driving if you can't see, right? So it's like, you know, those kind of things can have a impact on your day-to-day life. Now, fortunately, it's not like a daily occurrence for me that this happens. When it does happen, it's frustrating enough that it's like, man, I wish there was something out there. And, you know, sometimes it's just not knowing where to turn and who to talk to, right?
Yeah, there is, again, like you said, a spectrum of sort of different types of headache. And while you might not be somebody that experiences headache all the time, that exists, the neurodaily persistent headaches. There are people who wake up every day with a migraine and it's just part of their lives. Billions with a B are lost because of a lack of productivity because people can't work. Yeah. Everything that you were saying about like not being able to work, not being able to function is very true, but people still push through. People have kids and they have to take care of those kids. They're single moms, single dads dealing with children and a migraine. I got a chance to speak with a bunch of people who live with cluster headache. Cluster headache is known in some cases as the suicide headache because it is so severe. Mm. On a pain scale, cluster headache lives above gunshot wounds and pregnancy labor.
Oh, wow.
It is deeply severe. Like in my understanding of this role and sort of like learning about the culture of headache, the culture of migraine, why I had to become familiar with cluster headache. And it was very sobering to know that like the spectrum of this issue is intense. And so mm-hmm. being able to find relief is, especially for someone living with it day to day with who. And when someone has a migraine, the headache pain is probably only 2 or 3 days out of a week of stuff happening to them. So when you think about sort of like the life of their migraine, it doesn't start at the head pain. It starts 3 days before when they start seeing little things in their eyes. Or that sounds start to get a little like that is the beginning of their migraine.
Yeah. And those little things build up and build up and eventually become that kind of full blown migraine like you're talking about. And a lot of times, you know, you're right. We are a stubborn bunch. And, you know, unfortunately, that's the audience I chose to pick for my podcast.
Why I say tough.
Okay. Yeah, tough. Tough's a good word. Yeah. You know, so we're tough and we like to just kind of suck it up and deal with it and just get through things and just push through. Maybe that's kind of the mindset, but that shouldn't be the mindset, right? There's probably some red flags and some issues that could come from prolonged, you know, exposure to these types of headaches, migraines and things like that. And I know there's lots of different ones, but you know, what are some of the, like the long-term effects of not dealing with these things in a way that can kind of help these people?
Oof, well, that is a great question. The long-term effects are just sort of like, they're different from person to person. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a medical person. I can't come on here and say like, this is what's going to happen. But, you know, I don't think I have to be a doctor to say if you are experiencing something that's wrong with you and it goes untreated, that it could never get better or could get worse.
Yeah, right.
And you know, I don't need a degree to kind of know that.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, thinking about it now, it's like, okay, this sucks. This is pretty bad right now, but you know what? It can actually get worse. So yeah, maybe doing something about it and getting the help that you need. But a lot of times when people do go to the doctor for anything, it doesn't have to be headache related. It could be, you know, other back pain. It could be, you know, something else, whatever it is that you're going to the doctor for. Sometimes it's difficult to describe the symptoms in a way that is understood by the doctor. You know, we've all been to the doctor at one point or another, and you get, what, 10 minutes if you're lucky with a doctor. So getting that information out there to the doctor in a, you know, efficient manner so that the doctor understands what's actually going on, you know. And I know headaches are different for everybody, but, you know, I would imagine having some sort of game plan before you even go into the doctor, kind of writing out, okay, this is what I'm dealing with. Maybe even having some sort of log of like when the headaches are occurring, how, what the frequency is, what you've eaten around those times. Having that kind of information, I would imagine would be helpful for the doctor. But like, what are some tips or advice that you might give to people who are going to see a doctor and maybe, you know, want to make the best use of that time?
I think you're right on the money. I think you're 100% on the money. And if there's one thing people in service are going to do well, is they're going to develop a plan and they're going to execute. You know what I mean? They're going to. So that is exactly what you need to do. I think the first thing you need to do is to set up an appointment just for your headache. Because of what you said, that doctors only have so much time with their patients, I feel like people really try to be like, I have a headache and my asthma's not doing well and my foot hurts. And they try to like knock out everything that's wrong at once. And when that happens, your doctor is, you know, trying to keep all these plates spinning. So my first advice to you would be to go to a doctor specifically for the headache. And when you're going to that doctor for the headache, I would absolutely recommend going to operationbrainstorm.org, which I will be plugging a lot here, because we have a lot of the tools you can download directly from the VA, or links to apps where you can track your headaches, track your migraines. You can say, I had it this day, from this time to this time, it was this severe, it was at this part of my head. You can really kind of do your doctor's homework for them.
Yeah.
Going into the doctor's office and saying, hey, I'm here to talk about my headaches. You know, knock on wood, this veteran that I'm creating has gotten its service connected. And they go in and they go, I got this service connected. And now I'm experiencing this. Here is 3 months of journals. Here is those 3 months broken down week by week. Here is this broken down day by day. Is it arduous? Is it a lot of homework? Sure. Absolutely. But if you want to see results, you got to know how your migraine is unique.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, think about like if your car is making a, you know, squeaky noise or something like that, and you just call up a mechanic and say, hey, my car's making a squeaky noise. They're going to say, yeah, and I don't know what to do for you, because a squeaky noise can be from any number of places in your car. It could be your brakes. It could be something in the engine. It could be, you know, all over the place. All sorts of things could be squeaking and they don't know. And so if you don't know where it is, you're going to bring it to the mechanic and they're going to take it for a little test drive around to see if they can recreate what the issue is. Now, in that 10 minutes or 15 minutes, whatever it is that you're sitting with the doctor, they're not going to wait for you to have another migraine or another headache, you know? So you're going to have to kind of do that in that homework ahead of time so that they have an idea. And, you know, even like you said, specific parts of your head that are hurting, like where are you feeling the pain? That could be an important factor.
It would definitely help diagnose what type of headache, like if you are having a specific type of migraine, if you are having how your attacks manifest.
Exactly. And the doctor is not going to walk around with you every day for the next couple months to do this research and observation for you. So it kind of is on you. And I know when someone's in the middle of having a real bad severe headache, that's probably the last thing on their mind that they're going to want to have to deal with is jotting down
homework
and all that homework kind of stuff. That's a headache in and of itself, but you know, that's not exactly what they want to do, but it's very useful. So, you know, as soon as you can do it while it's still fresh in your memory, so you don't end up forgetting things, and then it kind of seems less severe than it actually is when the doctor looks at it. You know, that's probably the best way to do it. But
good for the doctor. But I will also say there is an added benefit for the purse for the patient as well. I think having an understanding of what's going on with you, recognizing the patterns, it makes it feel less frightening. Makes it feel like you have a little bit of control or understanding over something that you might feel like you don't have a lot of control or understanding over. And that is going to be huge for morale. That is going to be the difference between getting out the door to go to the doctor and going just to go to sleep and taking way too many Excedrin.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, even just having that list of days that you have had these headaches. I'm using headache as a generic term here, and I know all sorts of different ones. So just for the listeners, it's including migraines and all the other types of things that you described. There's a ton of them. So I'm just using that generically. But you know, the days that you've had a headache, the times a day, what you're doing around those times, where the headache is, you know, things that you've eaten or drank or things like that, you might actually start to recognize patterns in some of this stuff that, you know, if it's a week between the migraines that you might be having or headaches or whatever, you may not necessarily remember all of those things. But as you're looking at that list that you've been keeping for the last couple of months, you might start to say, hey, you know, every time I'm having a headache, this is something that's happening around that same time period. And you might be able to say, okay, well, every time I eat something, it causes me to have a headache. Well, don't eat that anymore and see if that helps. And if it does, hey, you might have successfully avoided the doctor, which a lot of us want to do anyways, but you might have been able to just kind of eliminate that on your own. And so, you know, and if that's not the case, at least you have that information that you can bring to the doctor and maybe they can make sense of it and try to figure that out, right?
They will be able to make sense of it because you have done a lot of the groundwork for their understanding.
Right.
Headache and migraine is complex headache disorders. It's not always going to be a doctor's go-to. You know what I mean? It requires a lot of sort of like understanding of like the pattern. But once it is, that will provide an avenue of different levels of care. And someone who is taking a bunch of aspirin and just kind of powering through in a dark room might be excited to learn that there are two types of medicine. There are abortives and there are preventatives. Preventatives are obviously for catching it before it happens. And abortives are like, it's happening right now, let me get rid of it.
Yeah.
So understanding that is going to be a game changer, especially if a preventative works for you. And you can start living your days being like, I'm starting to see aura. I'm starting to see lights. Let me take a preventative and nip this bad boy in the bud before it turns into my day is ruined.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Because like the types of migraines that I was describing that I have, sometimes I do kind of catch it before it gets really, really bad. And if I just go and close my eyes for 10, 15 minutes, I can avoid it altogether. And so sometimes that's good, but sometimes I get stubborn and I'm like, no, I need to keep pushing through and I'm going to just keep pushing. And then I end up having something that's like basically ruins the rest of the day because it's just that bad. So it, you know.
Are your migraine service related?
I'm not sure, honestly. That's something I probably should try to figure out. I don't have a service connection for it, but it could be after looking through your pamphlet here, there could be some things that are related to it. So it's possible. And it's something that I probably should dig into a little bit more. I know I'm preaching to the choir here, you know, talking to you about that, but it's something
preach.
I probably am like a lot of other veterans and I just never really associated that with anything else. And now that we're talking about this, the wheels are actually spinning right now. And I'm like, well, you know, there might be a case here. And so that's something I'll probably, you know, look into, you know, kind of down the line here.
I love to hear that. I love people learning about themselves and wanting to do better, wanting to do something about it because y'all deserve it. Y'all put in so much work. Y'all did incredible service for this country. Get the care.
Yeah, exactly. And I know a lot of times veterans are kind of opposed to going to the VA for their care. And you know what? Fine. If the VA is not for you, you had a bad experience with the VA and you don't want to go to the VA, don't go to the VA. If you have your own, you know, private insurance or your job or wherever, like go to a doctor of some sort and get the help that you need. Like it's okay if it's not through the VA. You can go someplace else too. You know, just because you're a veteran, it's not like there's only right. one place that you can go. So, and I know through Operation Brainstorm, you talked about the website a little bit, but you guys have a list of providers that you can search for.
Oh, so yeah.
There's a specific type of headache or migraine or whatever that you're dealing with. You can probably search for them on there. Is that kind of how it works on the website?
It can lead you to provider finders, but it's more of like a resource finder.
Okay.
It's more of like a, how do I educate myself? How do I learn more? Because like you said, that information is kind of difficult to get to. Mm-hmm. And I you talked about the VA, and I want to talk a little bit about the VA.
Sure.
You're never going to catch me saying a bad thing about the VA, because they have so much, they offer so much, and they're doing so much good work for people. But I have been out in the field and I have spoken to veterans, and I understand a general frustration with the VA. And really the general frustration is just sort of like large systems. The VA is a massive system designed to help 19 million people. Like it's, you're only going to get out of it what you put into it.
Yeah.
And so what I wanted to do, and I think that the VA can also do better, but it's dealing with a lot. So I think that's kind of where I step in, where us as National Headache Foundation steps in. I say, I see a need for people to get help, and they don't feel like they're getting it from this system. And I see the system having all these amazing resources that nobody is accessing. Hmm. And that is the birth of Operation Brainstorm. We're going to take all the resources from the VA, put them on our site, make them a little bit more accessible, a little bit more easier to understand, view. We're going to take all our resources from the National Headache Foundation. And again, I work for the National Headache Foundation, but I'm just the military guy. There's a whole other programs in here. We've been around for 55 years, and this Operation Brainstorm military program has only been around for a little bit, like 2-3. Mm-hmm. So like that, this information is out here. So I'm taking all of our information, all of the VA information, and just making it a little bit easier. Making it a little bit easier to access, because the care is there and the access is struggling.
Yeah. And there's really no need to be struggling, you know, with anything, you know, headaches or any other thing that you might be dealing with, what mental health or physical health, it doesn't matter what it is that you're dealing with. There are resources out there. And
it takes a lot of work, and nobody's going to do it for you is the tough part.
That is the tough part. Yes. And another tough thing that I think a lot of people have dealt with, why they are opposed to going to the VA, is either they've heard from a buddy who has gone to the VA and had a bad experience, and like, well, I don't want to have that experience too, so I'm not going to go to the VA.
Yeah.
They never even tried it for themselves. And maybe that one guy just had one bad experience, and they're writing off the whole system. Like you said, it's a huge system with a ton of programs, ton of different things available to people, but you're writing it off because of one bad experience. Yeah. I've had bad experiences with the VA. I've had great experiences with the VA. And so like, you know, one person can have multiple different experiences. I think it's important that if you're not getting the kind of level of care that you think you deserve or that you are expecting when you go in, to maybe ask for a different provider or kind of ask the right questions to get yourself in there. Don't just accept a no right off the bat or accept, you know, whatever that initial diagnosis is. If you think that doesn't feel right, then mm-hmm. it might not be right. And go ahead and advocate for yourself to get something better to kind of help you out, right?
Yes. The thing that I think is important for people to hang on to is that this is a process that is continuous and that is ongoing. And you may be doing everything exactly right. You may be following every rule. You may have every journal. You may have consulted multiple doctors. And you might still be struggling. You might still be hurting. And that is tough. That is a tough reality. But I think the way that we have to fight that is, first of all, baked into service people is their ability to sort of like be each other's battle buddies mm-hmm. and sort of really support each other. I can be out here. Doctors can be out here. Nonprofits, pharma can be out here telling you this is how you fix it. This is how you fix it. But I'm going to tell you one thing. A veteran is going to listen to another veteran before they listen to anybody else.
That's right.
So if you can get another veteran to sort of like understand, if you can kind of like have this communication, this is kind of why on Operation Brainstorm as well, we've started our story sharing initiative. I got a chance to, especially at the Military Influencer Conference, boy, oh boy, was I talking to people there. We got around 50 veterans this year to talk to us, to tell us their migraine story so that we can kind of publish it and put it out on our sites, put it out on Operation Brainstorm. So veterans can come in and read it and be like, oh, wow, this person got their headaches in a very similar way. Or, oh, wow, this person is also a single mother living with kids and a migraine. Oh, wow. And that community, that sort of like, I'm not alone, which is like a huge energy for us, which is like part of why it's why one of our slogans is you are not alone, is what's going to help you power through those moments where that I was talking about earlier, where you feel like you've done everything right and it's still not working.
Yeah. And that gets to be a very depressing, kind of hopeless situation that you might find yourself in, where it's like, I'm doing all these things. I can imagine someone right now listening to this, screaming at their phone or their stereo or whatever they're listening on. And they're like, I'm doing this. So you guys are preaching to the choir. I know this is exactly what I'm doing, but it's not helping. I'm not there, but it's not to say that you'll never get there. Sometimes you need to keep at it.
The answer is out there.
Exactly. You know, it's not a hopeless situation. It may seem that way right now, but you know, keep at it. Maybe you haven't seen the right doctor. Maybe you need to go try somebody else or something. I don't know what it is that you need to do, but
the crazy part is it could be a lot of things. Could be like, and like, and I think that's an important mindset to have as well, is that you're not going in thinking I'm doing this one thing that I need to stop, so much as like, what are the thing? What are my many triggers? Yeah. How can I manage them? How can I manage them before something happens? And once I'm in it, how do I deal with it once I'm in it?
Yeah, exactly. And it may not be anything that you're necessarily doing to yourself. Like I know I use the example of like, maybe you ate something that triggered a headache. I use that example before. Maybe it's not anything that you're actually doing to yourself. Maybe it's just something that's happening inside your head for
it gets one colder.
Yeah, exactly. Like you can't control the weather.
It starts to rain.
Give
you a headache.
Those things happen all the time. I mean, those types of headaches. And I know, especially as I get older, I can feel when it's going to start to rain in my back, and I know it's going to rain, you know, it's like, but people have that in their head too. And they can deal with those types of, you know, issues. Again, nothing that you're doing, but like you said, there are medicines that you can take that are preventative or things that can, you know, kind of stop the headache after the fact. And, you know, maybe it's just finding the right medication for you for those types of situations where you take it as needed in those types of situations. So, you know, whatever the case may be, again, everybody is going to be different, which I think makes it really difficult for doctors to really narrow in and pinpoint. It's not like you have this one particular cause that's going to cause this thing for everybody. And okay, well, just treat that one cause and we'll get rid of all the symptoms. And it, that's not how it works, because there's a lot of different things out there. So patience, I think, is super important, and going in with the right information, because I say this with just about everything doctor related, is that no doctor is going to advocate for you more than you are going to advocate for yourself. And if you kind of quit on yourself, the doctor's going to quit too, because the, you know, kind of the squeaky wheel gets the grease.
I always tell people the only person who's going to advocate for you more than you are is a spouse. It's a loved one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have spoken to so many veterans who have been like, I didn't go in for the longest time. And then my wife was like, I should go in because I'm getting headaches all the time. And because she advocated for me, I got the care. I'd also like to take a moment to sort of give a little grace and understanding to the doctors and also like nurses, other kind of providers that are out there, because they're doing their work, man. They're working super hard. They're trying their best. And migraine headache is a specialization to some degree. And so doctors know a lot, but they might not know everything.
Sure.
So yeah. even if you can know enough, even if you can understand enough about what's going on with you for a doctor to be like, oh, this might be something that is outside my sphere of understanding, then maybe that doctor giving you a medicine or a treatment or an appointment, maybe a referral is what you need from that doctor.
Right. I was actually going to say that too, because sometimes people, depending on their insurance or how things are kind of set up with their doctors, they have to go see their primary care first before they can get a referral to somebody else, a more specialized yes. doctor. And that's fine. I mean, it might be a little frustrating because now you got to wait a little bit longer to make appointments and that just takes time. But, you know, sometimes that's just what you got to deal with. And so you may go to your primary care and the primary care doesn't know exactly what's going on because, well, like you said, they do know stuff about headaches. They're not the expert on headaches. They're kind of more of a generalist kind of thing. So yeah.
They might not catch it.
Yeah, exactly. And they may not catch all the reasons why it could be happening. And so asking for that referral to the specialist who can help you do that is maybe exactly what you need out of that appointment. Maybe that's your expectation is I'm going into this appointment to get a referral to the specialist. And
yes,
not that I'm necessarily getting relief at the end of this appointment because, you know, maybe that doctor doesn't necessarily know what's going on. Maybe they do. And that would be great. That would be, you know, icing on the cake. But if they don't, okay, well, we'll get that mm-hmm. referral, and that specialist will be the one who kind of gets me across the finish line, hopefully, you know.
So one step back is still yep. a step forward.
Exactly. Now, I know you mentioned the VA, and they have tons of programs and stuff, obviously, you know, and more than we can even probably mention here. But I know the VA has like a headache center of excellence, I believe.
And yes.
Something like that. Are you familiar with that? And can you talk about that in terms of like what it offers to folks and like what kind of care is provided through that?
Absolutely. Can I talk about the Headache Centers of Excellence? You can't get me to shut up about them. I love the Headache Centers of Excellence. I think they're spectacular. The Headache Centers of Excellence are a collection of hub sites and associated sites funded by the VA to help across the country to help with headache specialization, to have a little bit more niche migraine headache care things. There are, this is off the top of the dome, so I hope I get it right. There are 11 hub sites, and then there are 15 associated sites, and then there's an office in DC. So that is a total of 27. We at the National Headache Foundation are in partnership with a fellow headache organization, the Alliance for Headache Disorders Advocacy. We did it in September. We were live in DC in March, where we go and we advocate to our representatives, senators, and congresspeople alike for the Headache Centers of Excellence to become expanded, to get a couple more associated sites and another hub site to just open up the level of care. The Headache Centers of Excellence are across the country, and they are for headache specialization.
Excellent. Yeah. And it's good that they have this program going on too, because it again, it's a specialization with people who know what's going on with headaches. And it's not like you're stuck with just your primary care doctor. Not to say that there's anything wrong with them, but they're not the yes. specialist, right? And so, you know, they have these affiliations with these doctors who are able to help out with headache related issues, and that level of care is what these people are looking for. You're looking for something more than just a kind of a general, here, take some Excedrin and, you know, deal with it kind of thing. You know, it's more in depth than that, and you know, may require some advanced testing and screenings and all that kind of stuff too, which maybe not every doctor is equipped for. But places like this, I gotta believe, are exactly what yeah. people are looking for, right?
The Headache Centers of Excellence are not for everyone with a headache disorder. It is very specialized. It is like for really difficult cases, but for those who need it, super necessary, super important. And we need more of them.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And because even you said 27 locations across the country, that's not even one per state. And so, you know, if you're far away from that, that may not be necessarily feasible for you. So if getting them more locations in more areas is really huge, especially for folks who are kind of in a rural area where, you know, it's really hard to do that, you know?
Exactly. When I was doing this in March, we got paired up in states. So I'm from Chicago, so I was representing Illinois, and we were paired up with Alaska. Mm. And something I learned about my homies in Alaska is that Alaska has the highest per capita veteran population.
Oh, wow.
10% of their population is veterans. And so when I was going around to the representatives from Alaska, I was definitely telling them, hey, do you know you have the high, they know this, of course they know this, but I'm like, you guys have the highest per capita veteran population. Did you know that anyone who needs to go to a headache centers of excellence in Alaska has to take a plane to Seattle?
Wow.
You think, yeah. If you'd had, and I was like, I would be like, we're pitching to have more headache sites. Don't you think Alaska should have at least one associated site?
Right.
You don't have to cross Canada to get care.
Right. That's a huge commitment to, if you have a job, if you have family that you need to care for, all that stuff, you have to put all that on hold. So you
quarterly.
Yeah. That pretty often. And that's a big commitment for some folks. And I mean, doing it once. Yeah, sure. But doing it several times a year, that might be too much for some people. Even just
pricey.
The cost of getting on the plane and flying out that way could be, you know, pretty expensive as well. So, and finding a hotel to stay in and all those things, it just might be prohibitive for people to be able to do. So yeah, definitely having stuff closer to people and meeting them where they're at is definitely important. So I'm glad you guys are kind of teaming up and helping raise awareness about this and expanding the reach of the organization and how they're being accessible to veterans, you know?
Yeah. Unfortunately, it didn't pass last year, but that just means that we're going to be back in DC in March in 2026 to do the same thing, to talk about the same thing, just different advocacy for folks living with headache. And me specifically, I'm, you know, advocating for the veterans.
And that type of thing is exactly what the people dealing with the headaches need to do, is they need to keep at it and not give up. And so you guys are kind of living by example here. And
who are doing it are better than me, because because this is my job. So I am going to obviously represent and to obviously help people because I care, but this is work. I work, I have to go to work. Everyone else that's there is there of their free time. These are providers. These are patients who are taking off work, who are taking off to fly out to DC to tell their representative, vote for this to their face.
Exactly.
I am always so happy to be there. I'm always so happy to help. I'm always so happy to be a part of the conversation, but people who take time out of their own lives to do this is they're so impressive.
That's great that there's so many people willing to give up their free time and advocate for things that are super important. Before we wrap up, for a veteran who's listening right now, who wants one simple thing that they could do today to help kind of move the ball forward and get closer to the goal line for themselves, what would you do? What would you tell them to do after they finish listening to this conversation? Where can they go to get started? All that kind of stuff.
I think if I'm talking to someone out there who is struggling with their headache, first of all, I want to say to them, I'm sorry if I was too loud. I get excited. Yeah. But the thing that I would say to them for sure is go get the care, make the appointment, go check it out, download Migraine Buddy onto your phone so that you can track your migraines every day on your phone. You won't lose that journal, hopefully. And get the care. I, as I said before, I could talk about sort of all of the difficulties of navigating the treatment and what to do or who to see. But I am telling you in this moment, from what I have seen, the hardest part is walking through the door and saying, I think something's wrong with me. I think I'm having headaches. I think I'm having migraine. So go to the doctor. I'll tell you what, if you are out there and you are listening and you are not, you don't want to fly down to Seattle just yet, go to operationbrainstorm.org. then go to our Mission Ready Navigation Guide. This is something that I wrote last year, and it went through many, many hands. Many, many doctors took a look at my work, and we eventually published it last year. It is a walkthrough for like how to navigate your care, what to do. And you might be able to stop after the third or fourth thing, or you might want to read all the way through to understand. But like, read some of the stories on there. Read the Mission Ready Navigation Guide. You don't have to go to the doctor today. Look at that stuff and ask yourself, does that look like me? Does that sound like me? And if it does, maybe you might want to make that doctor's appointment.
Right. Yeah. And best time to start was yesterday. Second best time to start is today. So,
man, that is real.
This has been great. A lot of good information, a lot of good resources that are available. I will have links to the website Operation Brainstorm and the National Headache Foundation. I'll have links to all the websites in the show notes and all you guys' information so folks can check it out. But Diego, thanks so much for coming on and joining us. I really enjoyed this conversation, and hopefully we help some folks out.
Yeah, happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me. Happy to spread the word about Operation Brainstorm. And if you're out there and if you want to reach out to me, please email me. I'm happy to answer questions, dcologne@headaches.org.
Perfect. Perfect. All right. Well, thanks so much. And we'll hopefully get some folks over to the website and get some folks dealing with their headaches. So thanks.
Absolutely. Thanks again. Appreciate you, Scott. Thank you.